Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our salvation, and for eternal life. I thank You for these dear people, for their pastor. I pray that You bless them. Give us utterance, help us to say that which is needful. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we give You all the praise and the glory and the honor for it. Amen. I was thinking just in the last 2 days about some things that have been pivotal in my life. I know that you could say the same. There are things, as you look back, as you walk with God for a period of time, there are things you could look back in your life and begin to recognize some patterns, some things that God taught you early on in your Christian life that you may not have even realized. He's establishing a pattern here in your life. He is establishing some principles in your life. At the time, you thought, well, this is a nice thing, or this is just kind of random, or God just showed me this. But later, after a period of time, you begin to recognize God was laying a foundation in your life. That there were certain pivotal truths that He put into you from the time you were born again until this moment. There's certain things that God laid into your heart. And you look back now and you realize this is information that God wants me to use. And I was just thinking about this in the last couple days about two areas in particular that the Lord has taught me in. And one, if you'll turn with me to James chapter 3, is here in beginning at verse 3. For the sake of time, I'm going to read, and I'm reading from the New International Version. James writes, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison." Well, some of us have a real personal acquaintance with the truth of that scripture. Amen? How many of you have ever gotten in trouble by things you've said? Said things you wish you hadn't? You know, the context of these verses, it's a negative picture we see here, isn't it? There's a negative connotation about what the tongue can do. But you know, for every negative, there is a positive. And in Scripture, especially, for example, in Ephesians, we read where Paul said, "Be angry and sin not." So it's possible to be angry and not sin. And then jealousy is generally not thought of as a positive trait. And yet in Exodus 34:14, it talks about the Lord whose name is jealous. And so there is a positive aspect, apparently, to jealousy. There is a godly jealousy. There is a godly anger, a righteous anger. And although no man can tame the tongue, the Holy Ghost can. Amen. You can bring your tongue under the dominion and domination of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And if your tongue can set a world of iniquity on fire, then it can set a world of blessing on fire as well. And although many times, you know, a forest fire started by just a small spark or flame, sometimes great changes are wrought in your life by just a spark of words of life that are spoken out of your heart. About 17 years ago, as I was waking up out of sleep, the Lord spoke to me, and the context of it was these verses of Scripture. And I realize now that that experience was a pivotal experience for me. and how much it is a part of my life today. So I'm not speaking theoretically. About 17 years ago, as I was waking up, the Lord spoke to me, and I heard these words, and I saw these words. I don't know how to explain it, but they were right over my head, just right there as I was waking up. And the Lord said to me, "Your tongue is a rudder." Very simple. I knew exactly what He was saying, although the context here is negative about how much trouble your words can get you into. I knew what God was saying. Your life is like a ship. And He said to me, "Your tongue is a rudder." At that moment, I said 8 little words that completely changed the course of my life. And I'm not saying that lightly. I'm not saying that to make up a sermon. I'm not just using a trite expression. At that moment, I spoke 8 words, and the course of my life was forever altered. I did not say these things out of my head. This was something that had been, what shall I say, brewing on the inside of me, stirring on the inside of me for probably 30 years. 25, 30 years about the calling of God on my life. This was not something I said lightly. I didn't just think of, well, okay, I'll be the President of the United States. It wasn't something like that that I said glibly out of my mind. This was in my heart. Do you understand that? And I said these words, I spoke these words out of my heart. I always remember something that one great man of God said. He said this, he said, "Faith-filled words spoken out of the heart will always lead the heart out of defeat into victory." You have to understand that faith-filled words are either words that are the words of Scripture, or they're words that the Holy Spirit leads you to speak that do not contradict the Scripture. So the faith-filled words are words that are full of the faith of God. Every word of God is full of His faith. Any promise in the Word of God that applies to you would qualify. Or if it's not a promise directly in the Word, if it's an area where you know the Holy Spirit has been leading you, you cannot separate faith from being led of the Spirit. That's why sometimes people say things and nothing ever happens, because they're just speaking out of their head, not their heart. But when I spoke these words, I spoke them out of my heart. The Holy Spirit led me to speak them. They weren't the words of Scripture, but they didn't contradict Scripture, and they were consistent with Scripture and in line with Scripture. I was led to say them. Spirit-led words are faith-filled words, and faith-filled words spoken out of the heart will always lead the heart out of defeat into victory every time. Then, if you turn with me to Mark chapter 4, I want to share another area that has been pivotal in my life. And this is something that probably over a period of approximately 10 years, it took that long for the Lord to get this across to me. And about 10 years time of just hearing the Word, not studying along any particular line, but hearing the Word and meditating upon the Word of God. In Mark chapter 4, there is a parable here. In verse 26, it says, speaking of Jesus, He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." I know you know this, but I want to share this with you. One of the pivotal truths in my life is that your tongue is a rudder. Another is that the Word of God is seed. We know that from verse 14 in this chapter. Mark tells us, he said, the Word is seed. I'll tell you this, though. It's one thing to say that. It's another thing to get that in your heart. And I'll make this statement to you confidently. If you can ever bring yourself to the place where you begin to see the Word of God as a seed, it will forever change the way you think. It will change your life. You will make a great advance forward in the kingdom of God. Because in this parable, Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. We could paraphrase that. This is how the kingdom of God operates. And you know that the kingdom of God is within you. So the kingdom of God is not just church. The kingdom of God, all the issues of life, all the outflowings of light come out of your heart. And so the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God affects everything that you are and will be. It affects every aspect of your life. And Jesus said, this is how that kingdom operates. It's like a man planting seed in the ground. Well, that soil is your heart or your spirit. And the kingdom of God will produce depending upon what is planted there. There are three things about seeds that are helpful to know. Number one, they are deceptive in their appearance. Seeds never look like what they will be. When we were, before we were married, the doctors had told my wife that she would probably never have children. Well, that was not an acceptable alternative for us. In my family, there were 7 children. In Mary's, there were 8. And we had grown accustomed to urban overcrowding and internecine warfare in the station wagon. We wanted to have children. And so we went to the Word of God, found all the promises concerning children. We knew them and believed them and paced the floor for 8 months hearing that Word of God in that area. And one day the Lord spoke to me. He said, good things are coming to the Purcell household. And the first baby was born. We wanted to be surprised. We did not do a sonogram. But I knew, the man of God that I am, that it would be a boy. And I gave him my name. After the first child, it became much easier to have children. And Peter soon followed. Only we didn't know whether it'd be a boy or a girl. Being the man of God that I am, I didn't have to ask. And so we picked a name, Audrey. John came, and we decided we better check up and find out. We did a sonogram, took a picture, still have that picture. It's a cute little picture, but I guarantee you it doesn't look at all like John does today. Because seeds never look like what they will be. Seeds are deceptive in their appearance. They're small and seemingly insignificant. The seed of a California redwood tree, which is the largest living, growing thing on the face of the earth. The seed of a sequoia, California redwood tree, is 1/16 of an inch long. It is 1 millimeter long. And if you were to hold that seed in your hand and someone were to tell you, you know, you've got a redwood tree in your hand, you'd think they were crazy. But in fact, really, when you consider the potential of that seed, you've got a redwood forest in your hand. Someone said, you can count the number of seeds in an apple, but you can't count the number of apples in a seed. There is power in a seed. And if you can ever bring yourself to see the Word of God as seed, it'll change your life. Second thing about seeds is, they're powerless until planted. They are powerless until planted. Until you plant them, they will not produce. And don't stone me for this, but you do not plant the seed by confessing the word. It's not planted by saying it. But if you look at this chapter, you'll understand that it says as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes the word that was sown. It goes down, it says, like still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. And so on and so forth. 3 times we see that the seed is planted by, not by saying it, but by hearing it. Well, isn't that the same thing? Actually, no. Because you can say something, you can say things and not hear it. And husbands and wives prove that out every day. But it's hearing it and hearing it and hearing it until it registers in your heart. I remember I was driving in Virginia and I was listening to a tape. I was on the way to a church down there. When I heard this person's talk about that seed has to germinate. And when he said that, the light came on. And I understood why many times my faith had not worked. Because you can say it like a parrot. You can confess it. But it is not confessing the Word of God that plants it in your heart. Now, someone has to say it, don't they? And usually that person will be you. But it's not just saying it, it's hearing it. And hearing it and hearing it and hearing it until it registers in your spirit. Until the coin goes down into the parking meter. And it goes down inside of you. Once you hear that word and you hear that word and you hear that word and you hear that word until it registers in your spirit, then that seed is planted. And that is the way the kingdom of God operates. It's like a man planting seed. And the third thing about seeds is there is always, 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 always a period of time with every seed when it appears that nothing, absolutely nothing, is happening. You plant that seed and the ground looks the same way as it always did. And that's where many, many people miss it. But there's always a period of time with every seed when it will appear that nothing's happening. Number one, they're deceptive in their appearance. When you first look at the Word of God concerning your situation, it will look very small and insignificant. And it will not look like the answer. But it is the answer. And number two, you can have a barn full of seeds, but if you don't plant them, you will not reap a harvest. The seed is planted when you hear it and hear it until it registers in your spirit. And thirdly, there's always a period of time. Don't be discouraged by that. Always. Don't let it be unexpected. There's always a period of time with every seed when it appears that nothing is happening. Well, the part about this parable that I like that has ministered to me is that the seed sprouts and grows even though you don't know how. You don't have to understand it. Your mind is not the superintendent of the garden. The power is not in your intellect. It's not in your education. The power is in the seed. Can you imagine that somewhere in the world today there are uneducated peasant farmers who are planting seeds? Strangely enough, those seeds grow just as well for them as they would for a Microsoft engineer. Amen? Why? Because the power is in the seed. And that harvest then, that seed will grow up because your heart has been created by God to bring forth fruit all by itself. All by itself, the soil produces grain. Your heart is the soil. Your spirit is the soil in which that seed is planted. And God designed you and created you. If you will hear the word and hear the word and hear the word and hear the word, whether you understand how it's going to work or not, your heart will produce fruit all by itself. It's wonderful. I love that because I tend to be try to figure everything out. And every time I'm challenged by a situation where I have to put my faith in the Word of God and faith will always contradict appearances and emotions and the way it seems. And you're either going to believe the way it seems or you're going to believe the Word of God. And you will always be challenged by this thought. How is this going to work? How can this help me? This is impossible. The good news is you don't have to understand how it works. The soil produces fruit all by itself. And lastly, the harvest comes in stages. First, the plant pokes up, and then there's a little bit more, and finally the full grain in the ear. I love the testimony of the woman who had a club foot, and she was 40 years old before she wore her first pair of new shoes. And she told this preacher, she said, you know, I want to show you something. This is the first pair of new shoes I've ever worn. And he said, well, that's nice. That's wonderful. She said, no, you don't understand. She said, I was born with a club foot. I've never been able to work. I've never been able to wear a pair of shoes. And she said, but someone gave me some of your tapes on faith, and I began to hear them. Now, I love this part of the testimony because I can identify it. They didn't mean a thing to me, she said. It was dry. I like that because sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I begin to read the Word, and I don't have goosebumps. I have lots of friends who feel everything, but there's a lot of times when I don't feel anything. And she said, it just meant nothing to me, but she said I couldn't go out or do anything, so all I could do was listen to those tapes, so I just kept listening to the tapes. Well, days went into weeks, weeks went into months, and week after week, nothing happened. I like that part of the testimony too. Nothing happened. It was dry. It didn't seem to mean anything to her, and nothing seemed to be happening. But she kept planting the seed. After 3 months, and I like this part of the testimony too, something started to happen. It just started. Finally, after 6 months, her foot was completely normal. No one prayed for her. She just planted the seed of God's Word. And not only that, but she did not have a little toe to begin with. And she grew a little toe. That little toe does more for my faith than anything. Somehow it tricks me into faith. My way of thinking is, if God can grow a little toe, He can do anything. So, about 5 years ago, I guess it was about 5 years ago, I began to think about our life and our ministry, and I had some things in my heart. I cannot overemphasize that. I'm not talking about in my head. I know the difference. I know when I'm praying out of my mind and when I'm praying out of my heart. There's a connection. If you're in faith, there's a connection with God. And I don't know why. I've always been so conscious of time. I'm just so conscious of time. People who think they have so much time. Time is short. Life is short. And I've just got one race to run. It's the race I'm in. I have just one life. I just have one life, one chip to spend. That's the one. And I want to be able to say what Jesus said at the end of His life on this earth. In John 17:4. Nothing else really matters to me. Because time goes by so fast, before you know it, we will stand before the throne of God. And then what you've done for eternity is what you've done. And at the end of His life on this earth, Jesus said this. He said, Father, He said, I finished the work that You gave me to do. I glorified Your name on this earth. I so much want to be able to say that. That's all I really want to say. That's all I really want to be able to say. I want that with all my wanting, with everything that's within me. I will stand before Him. I will see Him face to face. And I want to say, Jesus, Father God, I finished the work that You gave me to do. I finished it. And I glorified Your name on the earth. That's all I want. That is what I want most of all. Out of my heart, about 5 years ago, I began to pray and to say Psalm 2:8. It says, ask me for the nations for Your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for Your possession. Now you have to understand my frame of mind. Here I am, I'm in the Russian Far East, and I'm not on television. We have an internationally unknown ministry. I don't have a full-color magazine. But I began to say that. I began to pray it. I began to pray it this way. Father, you understand, I'm saying this out of my heart because it's totally illogical to me. But it was the desire of my heart. And somehow I knew I'm going to get this out there. I don't know if this is true or not, but I understand that when they make a bridge like the Narrows Bridge or some of these, like across Niagara Falls or something, don't they start with a strand or something, a cable, and then pull a bigger cable across and so on and so forth until they have a strong... Well, that's what I was doing. I knew in my heart, I'm going to shoot this out there. I'm going to get this out there. I'm going to start building something. And I said, Father, I ask you for the uttermost parts of the earth for my possession. I ask you for the nations. I'm asking you for nations. And I began then to say it, Lord, I thank you for hundreds and hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands. I thank you, Father, that we're reaching hundreds of thousands of people with the gospel. Father, I thank you that we're reaching, and then I said, even millions of people with the gospel. It seemed ridiculous. It just seemed preposterous. But just about 2 years ago, I was found myself in China, and I was in a cave in the middle of China, teaching a man there, among other leaders. There were about 30 leaders there in China, one of whom oversees about 800,000 believers. The other man that I'm working with oversees, I'm told, about 10 million believers. That is the biggest thing I've ever seen God do in our ministry. And it happened because I was bold enough to say, to pray out of my heart and turn the ship of my life with that rudder and to plant that seed. It'll bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Amen. I don't know about you. I don't know if you have any things in your heart. But I'll tell you what. You begin to put it out there. You begin to pray that, believe it, find the promise of God. Begin to say that and believe it out of your heart. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you for your word, which is a seed when we plant it by hearing it. And Father, faith-filled words spoken always will lead the heart out of defeat into victory. I pray, Father, that everyone within the sound of my voice will hear this word and begin to say, Father, and to pray those things that will accomplish the will of God for their life, their home, their marriage, their children. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.